title of today's sermon again is Walk in the Spirit. Romans 6:23. Please tell us which version.
Okay, this New King James.
Okay, go for it.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
For the wages of sin is what? Is death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. It's so simple. And it's still so powerful. Amen. The Lord will give me the grace to teach it well. Amen. So what's the opposite of eternal life? What's the opposite? What's the opposite of eternal life? The opposite of eternal life is what? Sorry? No, you're not following my English. The opposite of eternal life is what? Sorry? No, you have to follow the English. Who said that first? It's what? It's eternal death. Do you agree? Yeah? The wages of sin is what? No, yes. It's not just death. You have to define it. Amen? Which is the bigger problem? Someone who is physically sick or someone who is mentally sick? You are allowed to have a difference of opinion. Someone who is physically sick or someone who is mentally sick. Which is the bigger problem?
I think it's mentally.
Okay. Can you give a reason? You don't have to.
Yeah,
but if you want to.
I think it's all related to thoughts. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if the thoughts are right, then possibly the sin is not going to take. But if the thoughts are not right or imagination is not right, then possibly, you're not on the right track.
Okay, thank you. Yes, more? Like I said, there can be differences of expression or opinion. Someone who is physically sick or mentally sick, which one do you think is the bigger problem?
Mentally sick.
Okay, and why?
Because I think if you're physically sick, there's solutions and stuff that you can use to heal you. But if you're mentally sick, it's of your own accord to... sometimes it'll be harder.
Amen. Hallelujah. See, man is spirit, soul, and what? And body. But there are three layers. Yeah? There are three layers. The simplest way to reveal this is three circles. You have the outermost circle. Yeah? That's the body. Then you have an inner circle. That's the soul. And then you have an innermost circle. And that's the spirit. Now, I'm not guessing this. Okay, I'm not guessing this. You know, when I was studying the tabernacle of Moses, God showed me. So, in the tabernacle of Moses, this will get the revelation. Actually, in God's eye, they're not circular. It's rectangles. You have the outer court. You have the inner court. And then you have the sanctuary. The sanctuary is your spirit. The inner court is your soul. And then you have the outer court. Are you with me? The inner, your inner being, which is your soul, controls your outer being, which is your body. Are you with me? So your soul is made up of your mind and your emotions and your will. Your will is on the boundary between your soul and your spirit. I'll teach that later, but it's somewhere there. So, someone who is mentally sick, the problem is that the soul controls, the mind, for example, controls the body. So someone is mentally sick. Yeah? We also have physical problems. Do you agree with me? Because the mind is controlling the body. So really it's the bigger problem. Now let me ask another question. You know where I'm going. Which is the bigger problem? Someone is mentally sick or someone who is spiritually sick? You can be sick in any level. You can be physically sick. You can be mentally sick. Or you can be spiritually sick. Amen? So which is a bigger problem? Someone who is mentally sick or someone who is spiritually sick? We'd like to have a go and give a reason. Good to see you. Let's pass it on to you. You have to give a reason. Okay, go on, please.
I think the person who's spiritually sick, it is a problem because man is a spirit. So the spirit, it leads the whole of the person.
Amen. Thank you guys for Sister Cheryl. I like your reason. Amen. Amen. You see, because when you are spiritually sick, your relationship with God is not in good health. That's the meaning of being spiritually sick. If your relationship with God is not in good health, you are what? So everything that heaven wants to do in your life is being truncated. Do you see? Now, when you are in the midst of other people who don't know God, you are okay. They think you are okay because you are all in the same problem. Only the person that can see spiritually will look at you and say, you have a problem. And even when they come to you and say, yeah, you have a spiritual problem, you get angry and say, what do you mean? Amen? Hallelujah. So, you know, what causes physical sickness? What causes physical sickness? Anybody likes to be sick? I don't. I don't want to be sick ever. Amen? What causes physical sickness? Yes. Thank you.
Lack of self-care.
Lack of proper care. But that's not where I'm going. I'm looking at actually like, okay, what if I didn't care for myself? Why should I be sick? Like, you're correct. I mean, but why? What is involved with lack of care that causes sickness? Yes.
Well.
Not feeling well. You're still, yes, I agree. So you're talking at the higher level. I want to go lower. Like, all these things. Why can I not feed well? And why must I be sick? Like, if I don't feed well, I could just be weak. Why is sick? Okay, so this correct answer? But, yeah, more? So I'm looking at the scientific reason. That, what causes sickness? Yes. You get there. You see where I'm going to?
When your immune system is weak?
Yes, but if my immune system is weak, why should I be sick? Okay, it's weak, but why do I even need an immune system? I'm trying to point you somewhere. Yes? Who knows what I'm trying to get you to do? To say. We're going to need to ask the doctor. Yes, but we're going somewhere. You're not catching my drift.
Germs.
Amen. If there are no germs and no micro, why do microorganisms have to be wicked? You know, God did not create them to be wicked. God did not create any living thing to make you sick. It's a consequence of the fall. Yeah? All creation has been corrupted. Yeah? By sin. Amen? So, germs can cause what? Sickness. That's why you need to have proper self-care. And that's why you need to what? Eat well, feed well. And then that's why you need to what? Strengthen your... That's the advice from the dietitian. You have to strengthen what? Your immune system. Amen. But it's all because they are germs. Yeah? So, Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Shall I give you a modern day interpretation? It says, sin will kill you spiritually. It's a germ. Sin is a germ. Give it room, it will kill you. Spiritually. That's exactly what he's saying there. Amen? But it won't kill you immediately. It will first of all make you what? Spiritually sick. Your relationship with God will not be healthy. Yeah? Then give it more time. You're not treating it. Any sickness you don't treat is you're in danger. If you are sick, go and treat it. Amen? Go and treat it. If you want to keep functioning. Yeah? Sickness is your enemy. Amen? It is to be resisted with every single thing you got. It is not your friend. Someone say, oh, God sent me sickness to teach me a lesson. That means you were disobedient. Amen? You see, for God to have to send you sickness to teach you a lesson, you are stubborn and rebellious. Because if you are not stubborn and rebellious, God shouldn't need to send you sickness to teach you a lesson. He will just call you and say, hey, can you change that? And you've listened, you've done it. No need to go through sickness. Amen? Sin will kill you spiritually. And if we were left to ourselves, yeah, we are hopeless. Yeah? But thank God for the gift of God. Amen? He said the gift of God is what? It's eternal life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And someone said, you know, what if someone dies spiritually? It's not a problem to God. He is the God that quickens the dead. Amen? What does he do? He quickens the dead. Let me just quickly say this before we go deeper. You see, many times we pray, but we are praying the wrong prayer. For example, you can spend time praying for revival. But do you know the meaning of revival? English. What does revive mean? Revive. Just English. No spirituals. Yes. Yes.
To resuscitate. Bring
to,
back.
To resuscitate. I like them to. That's very technical. Let's go for the simple one. What does it mean to revive? Just say it.
Bring back to life.
Bring back to life. Do you understand the meaning of that word? Something was alive. Then he what? He died. Then you are bringing back to what? To life. That's revive. It's the thing. I like that smile. It's a smile of enjoying the word of God. It's good. You should enjoy the word of God. It shows that you have spiritual life. Amen. If you are not enjoying the word of God, you are spiritually sick. You need medicine. Hallelujah. And there's medicine in this house. You can just open up your heart. Amen. So when we are praying for revival, you are telling God to bring back to life. Yeah? What has died. Hallelujah. So firstly, you are acknowledging that spiritual sin is working. Because without sin, yeah, nobody can die spiritually. Amen. And there's no point to pray for revival without repentance. Hallelujah. Because what killed the life was sin. Yeah? So if the sin it continues, even if God revive it, what will happen? It will die. You get what I'm trying to say? So when we're praying for revival, we should also deal with whatever the problem is. That's why God doesn't answer some prayers. Because he knows that you'll be wasting his time. Like, you are holding on firmly to that thing that is killing what God has put in you. And you're asking God to be doing overtime. Why will I do overtime? When I know it's all going to go down the drain. Hallelujah. So many times, it is not a God problem. It's a man problem. The problem is our attitude. The problem is the way we take God for granted. Yeah? You're saying, we are praying. I say, I read the song this morning. It's okay. The song is scriptural actually, but it's not too scriptural. I don't know if you get me. He said, God, send your spirit. We explained last week that God's spirit is omnipresent. Hallelujah. I told you about multidimensional multitasking. He's here. You know, the multidimensional can be is in you and is in me. He can be telling you something specific and me specific. Amen. God sits on his throne, the Father, but he reaches you through the Spirit. Amen. He's omnipresent. Hallelujah. So God's spirit never went on break. It's you that despised him. It's you that ignored him. It's you that refused to listen. So if I want the Spirit of God to break out in my life, yeah, I start with repentance. I start to say, Lord, Holy Spirit, I took you for granted. I didn't ask you before making that decision. I'm sorry. You know if you're a young person, yeah? If you offend your parents, yeah? One day, you went to bed. The next day when you wake up, go and greet them. And say, I'm sorry for yesterday. That's a humble spirit. Your life will move forward. You cannot... See, God is the God of order. You see, without order, the Godhead will scatter. I explained last week. I said, the Father is greater than the Son. It's not me that said it. Jesus is the one. He said, my Father is what? Is greater than I. And the implication is that the Son represents the Father. Hello? No one has seen God at any time. But I'm not serving a God that is invisible. You know why? Jesus came. Hallelujah. When they asked, he said, John 14, Thomas asked Jesus, he said, show us the Father and we'll be happy. He said, Thomas, where have you been? 3 years I've been with you, you are still asking me? Yeah? I said, who has seen me has seen what? The Father. That's the closest you ever get to seeing God. Until the end of time. When God will come and dwell with his people. The Son reveals the Father. Amen. And the Holy Spirit, the Son is greater than the Holy Spirit. Jesus, that's why Jesus said, I will send. He said he will represent me. He will not speak of himself. Anything he hears, he will speak. Amen. The Spirit comes to represent Jesus. That's why I said that. You see, you can't walk in the Spirit without the Word. Do you know why? Your fellowship with the Spirit starts with the Word. The Spirit came to represent the Word. Hello? Say with me. Say the Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to represent the Word. Do you see? So that's why when the Holy Spirit comes to your life, before you were reading the Bible, it was just like, you know, many letters. But as the Holy Spirit, as you cooperate, as the Holy Spirit, I don't understand. Show me. It will start. You read it, and it will be speaking to you. That's the Holy Spirit who is quickening the Word. That's where you move from the Logos, that's the Greek word for the written word, to the Rhema, which is the Greek word for the spoken word. Probably I'll call it the quickened word. The Holy Spirit will bring the Word of God to life in you. Amen? So somebody who is not going to fellowship with the Word is not going to walk in the Spirit. Please say with me. Say, if I don't fellowship with the Word, I cannot walk in the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit builds on the Word. Amen? That's why the Bible says that to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You cannot be spiritually minded without the Word. It doesn't matter how many times you pray the Holy Spirit to fill you. Your mind is not going to change without what? No more. Please, I want you to get this. I want to go deeper. Just get it. Your mind, yeah, is a higher layer than your body. Yeah? You know, if you want to change something in your body, you have to start from your mind. If you want to go to church, you have to decide. Here. Your body will not just go to church. You will decide that, okay, we are going to church. Yeah? Then your body will cooperate and move. You can't change your mind with your mind. Hello? What did I say? You cannot change your mind with your mind. Every time you tell me you change your mind, you know what happened? You are operating from the higher level, which is the Spirit. So basically you have your outer being, your inner being, then your innermost being. Your innermost being is your Spirit. Every time you change your mind, you are operating from a higher layer called the Spirit. Hallelujah. But if your Spirit is not fortified with you, the Word, even if you change your mind, you're still going to make the bad decision, wrong decision. Amen? But the Word, This is what can change your mind and make it whole. Amen? You are struggling with the wrong thoughts. You are struggling. There are many different types of wrong thoughts. I can categorize them into categories. Wrong thoughts can be either be thoughts of lust, selfishness, or thoughts of pride. I will explain this to you. When you have low self-esteem, it's still in the pride domain. I know it doesn't make sense, yeah? You cannot have low self-esteem without thinking about yourself. You have low self-esteem because you rate yourself much lower than others, yeah? But it's because you care about yourself, isn't it? If you don't care about yourself, who cares about your esteem? Amen? The same thing is true. You cannot have superiority. Both superiority complex and inferiority complex are problems of pride. Are you with me? But, and there may be reason for it. You know, maybe everybody's getting something and it's easy for them, and you're struggling. You may have low self-esteem. It's possible. It's a broken world. Do you get it? It can happen. But when you get to the Word of God, the Word of God helps you take focus off yourself and puts it on God. For example, the Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Word of God says, behold what manner of love that the Father has given us. 1 John chapter 4, I think. That we should be called the sons of God. So if I'm always losing self-esteem, I keep maintaining on the word. I understand that actually, you know what? I'm a child of God. As much as Joshua. And it doesn't matter if he plays football better than me. And you know that now I cannot catch up because I'm much older. Amen? But we're still equally children of God. Amen? His football will not make him more qualified before God than me. Amen? We can both appear to the Father and he loves us equally. Hallelujah. That deals with my self-esteem. Amen? Whether it's low or high or superior. Hallelujah. That's why through the Word of God, you know that you cannot boast in the flesh. He said, let him that boast. What? Let's go for it. Look for it. He said, no man should glory in that. You know, but he that boasts should boast in the Lord. Please find it. It's in Jeremiah, I think. Let's find it out. It will bless somebody. Yes? Quickly. Who found it? So let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Find it. Say? Okay. I'm going to give you to read. So tell us which way you are reading and read it quickly.
1 Corinthians 1:31.
Yes.
Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Yes, more? I'm looking for the Old Testament one that talks about glory. That you should not glory in your strength. Sorry? Jeremiah 9:24. Please open your Bible to Jeremiah. I want you to open because I don't know who the Holy Spirit wants to specifically speak to on this. But when you open, yeah, you will capture it. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24. Jeremiah 9:24. Please, everybody open there. Jeremiah 9:24. Let's read from two versions. Please tell us which version.
New King James Version.
Okay. Go for it.
But let him who glories glory.
Let's start from
this.
23. Because I want to give you that context.
Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom.
Let not the wise man glory what?
In his wisdom.
Sorry, you know me. I want to put some context to it. You know, I just attended the wedding of my niece. And of course, I'm happy. You know, marriage is a good thing. Amen? But we should not forget, the Bible says that marriage is honorable. But that's not the end of the story. And the bed undefiled. You see, the problem with us in Christianity today is that we are half-baked. You love cuisine, they are half baked. You know, like a half baked cake. You like, you know? Anybody like half baked cake? Say, how do you like your cake? Bake it half. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. What was I saying? Yes. People starting for marriage honorable in her. Well, that's not the end of the story. And the bed what? Undefiled. Amen. If the bed is defiled, it has dishonored the marriage. And God is not pleased. But because the devil is the prince of dishonor, every time there's dishonor, he's dancing, he's happy. He's hopeless. So he's a sadist. Yeah? He's going to rejoice. Yeah? At anything that is messy. You don't want to give the devil the opportunity to rejoice in your life. Say, I refuse to give Satan an opportunity for rejoicing in my life. It's a good prayer. Amen? So that's not where I'm going. So, wedding is good, and there are many good things I enjoyed in the wedding. But I remember one of the events there. So I don't even know what I'm saying. There was a song that was being played. I never heard it before. He's talking about, I'm wise, 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 I'm wise. I'm the wisest. You know, I am a wisdom. Yeah? I'm the very wisest. I was like, oh. He said, what this song, of course? And they were dancing, they were very happy. Ah, energy was pumping. I was just singing myself. This is completely scripture upside down. And I'm telling you that a Christian was doing that. And they will praise God in church on Sunday. But see that, let not the wise man what? Glory in his wisdom. I like that smile. I like that smile. It's a good smile. I managed to amuse you. I mean, you needed to be there. You don't understand what I'm talking about. Amen. Please continue. Jeremiah 9:22. 23. Is it 23? Please read it again.
So let not the mighty man glory in his might.
Let not the mighty man glory in his might. The Bible is not telling you not to be wise. But it says you know what? The Bible is not telling you not to be mighty. Well, it's not telling you not to be beautiful. But it's saying don't what? Don't carry it on your head. Don't carry it on your head. That is not the value of your life. It's just a blessing from God. Amen? Continue.
Now let the rich man glory in his riches.
Mm-hmm.
But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me.
That is... Continue.
That I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth.
Amen. That's the value of your life. Amen. You know, many people, they pray for long life. Anybody wants to live long? Like, my hand is up. Anybody wants to live long? Put your hand up. Come on. You want to live long. Amen. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. But the question is why? Why? You know when you're praying to God and you're saying, God, give me long life. The question you must ask yourself is why?
So you can live.
Jesus died at 33 and went. Why do you want to live to 100?
So you can live your life through Christ and share your faith towards others.
Amen. Let me tell you, there's only one reason, one valid reason for living. What's the Lord's Prayer? Let's say it together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Continue. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as in heaven. That automatic that tells you that God's will is not being automatically done on earth. It's not everything that happens in the gospel. Otherwise, you don't need to pray it. Amen? So long there are human beings on this earth who have free will. So long there's devil on this earth. Yeah? Or devils. Yeah? There's warfare. Yeah? There's warfare. That's why you're praying your will be what? Done. So the primary purpose for you to be alive is so that you can be an agent. Yeah? For doing the will of God. And it's not just in your life. Yeah? Because you are yielded, God can walk through you in the life of others. Because he can't walk if he doesn't find an agent. Do you get? God needs an agent. Amen. So if you say, I'm an agent for righteousness. I don't know if I'm following the gist of the Holy Spirit taking us. But I want you to open up your heart. When we open up our heart, we will remove the smoke screen. We'll remove all the deceptions. We'll remove all the false religions. And speak truth. Because only the truth can make you free. Hallelujah. If you don't open up to the truth, you will be corrupted. There's a serious corruption in our generation. And it's not reducing. It's getting worse. It's, the Bible said that in the last days, the evil men will get worse and worse. Please, let's open there. I want to show you something that the Holy Spirit showed me. Find it. Evil men will get worse and worse. Young people, that's the purpose of your smartphone. Evil men will get worse and worse. Bible verse. Find it. It's in Timothy. Evil men will get worse and worse. That's the prophecy in the Bible. Can you believe it? Anybody found it? Come on, church. Shouldn't take time. Evil men will get worse and worse. Yes, thank you. See, you've just proved to us that you are young. Amen. And let the young lady glory in their what? In their youth. But let them glory that they know. But it's good to be young. It's a blessing. Hallelujah. It's a blessing to be what? To be young. Give thanks for it. Hallelujah. And use it for God's glory. Yes, where do you have it from?
2 Timothy.
Which chapter?
Chapter 3.
Chapter 3?
Verse 13.
Verse 13. Please open there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. Please everyone open. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13.
A New King James
version. Okay. Go on please, Agnes. New King James version.
But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived.
Okay. Now let's read it in context. So can you just try verse 12? 2 Timothy 3, 12 and 13.
Yes.
Can you just wait for me? Let me find it. And I just want to teach it in context. So to 2 Timothy 3, yeah?
Yes.
Just apologies for my... Okay. Wait. Okay, that's fine. I can just explain, because yes, 12 and 13. 2 Timothy 3, 12 and 13. Please listen.
Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution.
Pause there. What's that telling us? Yeah. A test that you're living godly, yeah, is the what? You will run at loggerheads with some people. Because your godliness threatens them. Hello? If you decide to live right and stand for what is right, someone will be threatened. Hello? Someone will not like you. There's nothing you can do about it. Amen? If you decide to do what is right, and stand for what is right. Yeah? There will be friction with somebody. So if all your life, there's no friction, there's no opposition, everybody likes you. Yeah? You are not living godly. Now, I'm not telling you to go and look for enemies. Bible says in Hebrews 12:14, say we should strive for peace with all men. But he didn't tell you you can achieve it. Just you try your best. Amen? The reason is that, from time to time, you have to take your stand. He said, I'm not doing that. I can't do it. Sorry, I love you, but I can't do it. Amen? Then you are living godly. It happened to Jesus. Didn't it happen to Jesus? He fed 5,000 men and women. 5,000 men, aside from women and children. They loved him. They went to look for him again. Forevermore give us this bread. It's in the Bible. Yeah? Then one day, he gives them some truth. Some revelational truth that we help to like prune them and make them better. And they all left. It now remained just two. He just not told his apostles. He said, will you also leave me? What did they say? He said, where else will we go? You are the one that has the word of eternal life. That's a disciple. Hallelujah. I met someone yesterday who was like, I said, I have to leave this party now. Because party was going to continue to 11:30. And I have 2 hours to drive home. So I come up and I said, it's 8 o'clock. Let's start a movie. And the reason is this. I've learned over time that when we're driving back home at night on a long journey, they all get to sleep. And I cannot sleep because I'm driving, yeah? So let's go. Amen. So then I met this lady and I'm going. I said, where are you going? I said, because I have to tomorrow. Then she said, oh, she just told me, but you know, let this your pastor thing. I said, it's my life. It's what? My life. You need to understand it. It's your life. Hallelujah. If you had a personal business, will you put in more to it than you will put into something God told you to do? That tells you where your heart is. But I would say where your treasure is where your heart is. You understand? Let's go to the story of Lot. Lot's wife. Anybody know the story of Lot? It's in Genesis 19. Genesis 19. You can refresh yourself later. Genesis 19. Talk about the story of Lot. Lot was a nephew to Abraham. Yeah? Lot got some wealth from Abraham. I even want to tell you about Abraham. Yeah? The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Say amen. You know? Someone said, God said to Abraham that God will bless him. And then, the next chapter, Abraham was very wealthy. So God has kept his promise. And that's not Bible. Amen? He didn't read it in detail. You see, when God promised to bless Abraham, it goes beyond riches. Amen? The real blessing of Abraham is that someone from his bosom will come. Yeah? Who will be the savior of the world. And in him, all the families of the earth will be what? Will be blessed. But that's not what I'm going to. After God had promised Abraham, God told him to go to promised land, Canaan. He was there. Then there was a famine. But you don't read that Abraham prayed to God. Did Abraham pray to God and say, God, what should I do? No. Did Abraham pray to God and say, because the Bible tells us later that Isaac sowed in that same land and reaped. But Abraham, once there was famine, where did he go? He took his journey to Egypt. Then he had a deal with Sarah. You remember the story? Because Sarah was actually his half sister. Not nowadays, in those days. Amen. It was in those days. There were not as many people on the earth. And their DNA was not as degraded as ours. Okay? So let's be careful. So Sarah, you're a very beautiful. Can you imagine how beautiful Sarah was? At 65. Because Abraham was about 75 this time. She sees so beautiful that Abraham is afraid. Yeah? Well, what will happen to her in Egypt? So you're a very beautiful woman. Please, when we go to Egypt, just stay there. Oh, yes. so that instead of arising me, they will favor me. So Pharaoh's servant saw Sarah, very beautiful, took her to Pharaoh. Pharaoh decided to take her as wife. And then, because of what happened, Pharaoh gave Abraham many gifts. Many gifts. Are you following me? That's how Abraham became rich. In that Genesis 12. So in today's world, was it riches well acquired or riches acquired by fraud? Hello? Abraham told Pharaoh that Sarah is his sister. So Pharaoh was happy he got an additional bride. Now bless Abraham with many gifts. Is that God's blessing or fraud? So, are you with me? If God did not intervene, Sarah would have been corrupted. Then no Messiah will come through her. That's the cost of that riches. Sorry? It's fraud. It's only God that intervened. It's mercy that God gave him. Amen? Legitimately, spiritually, he has received the proceed of his deception. Yeah? So Pharaoh should also get the benefit. Pharaoh was innocent. Was he not? So God intervened. Yeah? What did God do to Pharaoh? And they struck them all with sickness. Yeah? I'm telling you this story so that you understand, so your eye will open. I want to use modern terms. So when Pharaoh found out the fraud of Abraham, what did he do? He deported him. And now, if I use that word, you understand it. Check your Bible, go and see that. He was deported for fraud in Egypt. Check. Amen? That's not the blessing of God. The blessing of God, it makes rich. And it has no source. So when they came back to Canaan, yeah, the land was dry. So Lot, having gotten some of the proceeds of the blessing of Abraham, I mean the riches of Egypt. Oh, by the way, do you know another problem with Egypt? It wasn't only riches that Abraham got for Egypt. He also got Agar. And Agar caused him trouble later. Let's leave that one aside. So Lot got riches, yeah? And normally, if you are the type that believe that, oh, riches is the way God, the sign that God is with you. It's a sign, but it's not the sign. Do you get it? It's a sign, but it's not the sign. It's one of the signs. Amen? So, Lord goes to Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Why did he go? Anybody know the story? Why did he go there? Why did he go towards Sodom? Why did Lord go towards Sodom? You need to read Genesis 19. Or Genesis 12 to 19, you'll see what I'm talking about. Why did Abraham go to Lot? Why did Lot go towards Sodom? He fought with Abraham. They fought for land. He forgot that Abraham is his uncle. He forgot that all he had, he got from what? Abraham. Lot was an orphan. He forgot it all. They fought. So why did he now move towards Sodom?
Because Sodom was a better looking land.
It was a more fertile land. Yeah. And technically speaking, that means that the one Abraham had was poor land. Yeah? The promised land at the beginning was like what? It looked poor. Hallelujah. It looked what? The promised land of Canaan, where Israel is today, at the beginning was a dry land. Yeah? Hallelujah. It was what? It started as what? A dry land. Hallelujah. But after Lot let Abraham, yeah? God spoke to Abraham. Say, in this land, I will bless you. See, when God blesses you, yeah? He will turn the dry land into a spring. Amen? You know why? Because it's not a problem for God. He created the whole world. Amen? He will take what is in your hand, bless it, and multiply it. But the reason why he does that, you've already given it all to him. Amen? You've given it all. You have made him You've already made him Lord over all you are and all you have. Now he can come in and bless it because he knows that he will take the glory. Pharaoh will not take the glory. Egypt will not take the glory. Yeah? He will take the glory. Hallelujah. So Lot stayed in Sodom. And Sodom was a very, I don't want to use immoral. There's a word called debauchery. Yeah? That's the word that's come to my mind. Let me check up the meaning of debauchery. It was corrupt. It was spiritually and morally what? Corrupt. But Lot endured it. Why? Every time Lot is thinking about corruption, he will check his bank account. Okay, they didn't have bank accounts here. They had sheep and goats and farm. He will count them. Ah, they have increased since last year. Praise the Lord. So he remained. You see, you can live in a sinful city, provided you're having impact. You're having influence for righteousness. Because the reason why we are in the world is sinful, yeah? Why did God leave us in this world? So that we can have impact and influence for righteousness. Hello? The day you stop having impact and influence for righteousness, you lost your purpose as a believer. Hello? But you will not have impact and influence for righteousness if you are not having a strong relationship with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You will be pursuing the same thing that unbelievers are what? Pursuing. So Lot stayed in Sodom until judgment came. I'm shocked. I want to show you something that happened there. So when the angels, so Lot was a righteous man, but he stayed in what? In Sodom. Because he was prospering materially. So he endured the spiritual corruption. He endured no impact, no influence for righteousness. Because he was prospering materially. Lot will have probably stayed there like 20 years plus. But what I want to show you about Lot is that when the angels came and they told him they are destroying, the Lord will destroy the city. They told Lot, hurry up and escape. Run away. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says Lot lingered. It was difficult. Even after Lot knew that Sodom was about to be destroyed, it was what? It was difficult for Lot to leave. And I think I get it because they didn't give him time. Yeah? They didn't tend to escape at night and pack all these things. It's not mistakenly, it's on purpose. Because they came at night, they could say, pack all your things and, you know, escape. Or maybe because the city gate was locked, I don't know. But it was early morning. Go. So the angels had to, read your Bible. Bible said the angels grabbed Lot by hand, grabbed his wife by hand, and grabbed his two daughters by hand, and took them. They dragged them out of the city. What does that tell us? If not for the mercy of God, Lot will have been destroyed with Sodom. It's called collateral damage. And that's possible to believers. Hallelujah. There are some things that should not happen to you. They should not. But they can. If you are unequally yoked with unbelievers. Yeah. You got their benefits. So you may also get some of their punishment. So you want to be careful with that. It's not God's fault. Hallelujah. It's not God's fault. God is perfect. Hallelujah. God is what? Let me see how we're doing in time. And we're going to tidy it up. Okay, so I think we have to round it up there. So let's get up. Let's get up. I'm just, what I want, I'm aiming just to stir up a desire in you, you know, to live, yeah, the life of the Spirit. They were in warfare. You are what? in warfare. Okay, your son has finished from school and he has a good job and he has bought a house. That doesn't mean he's spiritually okay. That doesn't mean he's going to heaven. So don't let that be the only metric by which you measure your life. Yeah? Hallelujah. Because people who don't know God can achieve these things. Amen? Let's measure our lives by how much our light is shining. And I want to just correct you. Your light is not shining because you bought a new house. Amen? Your light is shining because you influence somebody for righteousness. Hallelujah. Your light is shining because Jesus could use you. Amen? You prayed for somebody and there was a change. You spoke to somebody and there was a change. Someone was down. You spoke to them. They were lifted. Yeah? Someone was depressed. Yeah? And God used you to help them out of their depression. Every time you are promoting righteousness, yeah? Your light is shining. Yeah, hallelujah. And you achieve that by walking in the Spirit. You yield to Him. If you don't, the flesh will take over. It doesn't need permission. It's a bully. The flesh is a bully. It just tries to force its way through. But you must refuse. God has invested in you. God has invested. Invested in me. And I must live that life of the Spirit. God is depending on me. The Bible says something, we're going to pray with it. It says, if the light in you therefore be darkness. Ah! You don't get it. Like, you are the carrier of light. But the light in you now is what? It has degraded. It's darkness. So what's the hope of those who don't even know God? Okay, let's talk to God about it. I want to just pray. It's a positive prayer. God, I want to live for you. I want to do your will. Bible said when he came, he said, it's not about sacrifice. There's a lot of sacrifice and offering, you know, a lot of noise making, a lot of impression and expression. No, that's not that one. Leave it for those who are spiritually shallow. He said, I come to do what? Your will. That's what you want to do. I want to do your daily. I want to do your God. So pray to God and say, that's what I want to do. I want to do your will. I want to do your will. Whether I'm smart or not so smart, I want to do your will. Whether I'm young or not young, I want to do your will. Whether I'm mighty or not mighty, I want to do your will. That's what you matter most. I want to live for truth. I want to promote righteousness. I want to clear out the field. I know what it means to be fielding. I know what it means for your mind to be, you know, full of wrong thoughts. It's happened to me. Well, I thank God I'm free. Hallelujah. And I want to stay what? Free. No corruption. No what? Corruption. And of course, I'm in the world, so sometimes things can fly, but you quickly nip it. Not that it dominates you. Pray to God. That's who you are. That's who you are. You are to live for righteousness. Romans 6:22, go back when you get to read it. I was going to talk on that. It said that now that you have been delivered from sin, yeah, you are to live for righteousness. And you have your fruit unto holiness. That was the reason why you were delivered from sin. It affects every part of our lives. In everything I say, in everything I do. You know, Paul said, you know, if I speak in tongues of men and angels and I don't have love, what am I? I'm nothing. That's righteousness. To walk in love is righteousness. To be faithful is righteousness. To be meek is what? It's righteousness. Hallelujah. To have self-control. Self-control. Because if you don't have self-control, the flesh will imprison you and make you do bad things. To have self-control is righteousness. And it all comes by humbling yourself. You to the world, you to the Spirit. Have a desire to live for truth. The Bible says that you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Father, we thank you that we can walk in this victory. That's our desire. We are not messing. We want to walk in the way. We want to be genuine representatives of Jesus. When people have been interacted with you for a while, they know that they've contacted someone that looks like Jesus. They feel the love, they feel the truth, they feel the light, they feel the righteousness. And it impacts them. Help us all in this church to rise to that level. Give us the grace, the strength, the light, enlightenment to live for truth. And Lord, I pray wherever anyone is weak or struggling, let the power of the Holy Spirit move within our innermost being and quicken us in our mortal bodies in the name of Jesus. To you be all the glory. For in Jesus' name we have prayed.